No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm good, thanks.
That's good, that's good. Hey, we've got some burning questions from the BFM listeners in regards to union stuff and employment stuff. A lot to do with going into level two. Obviously, a lot more people will be back at work. So should we just dive straight into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, the first question we've got is a level two question. Can I request to stay working from home even if my boss has said we're going to be going back into the office at level two?
So this is a really good question. I think a lot of people will be, wanting to know this because for some people will have realized that they could have been working from home this whole time.
Yeah.
And it would have been a lot more convenient. Maybe they would have been more productive. Certainly, I don't. I feel the opposite, but yep. Like completely understand where people are coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course you can. I mean, I think people should be having those conversations with their bosses because I don't see why not, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if you are able to do the same job from home and it's safer and you're even maybe more productive, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to have that conversation. I think in terms of, like, getting this to be actually, like, a part of, you know, something that because obviously the problem is you can ask, but then the bosses, you know, they have all the power to say just no.
Mm.
So, you know, you can put together the best case you possibly can, but they still will have the power to say no, and they don't have to really have any kind of rebuttal. So in my opinion, the best, like, kind of option is, like, if there are a lot of people in a work site that want to work from home, can work from home, are very easily able to work from home, it's something that should come up if you have, you know, a collective agreement. So mm-hmm. If you have a unionized workplace, that's something that you can put forward as a claim during negotiations, contract negotiations.
Okay.
This is why I always say, you know, unionize, because you just have so much more options when it comes to contract negotiations. And you have a lot more power than just, say, you as an individual kind of going to your boss and asking. It's that collective power that I think really can shape how you work and your working conditions.
I think it's quite an interesting one because I've certainly seen a lot of talk online about working from home and what this actually means for people who have been advocating for years for, you know, disability reasons or for chronic pain, things like that, have meant that working in an office is not necessarily the most comfortable. Do you think that we're going to see a bit of a movement or a change after this time, Justine?
I think there should be, and I think there will be. And I know a lot of advocate groups have been saying this for a really long time, and we've just seen how easy the transition can be for a lot of workers who are doing office work.
Mm.
So I think so, yeah.
Well, I've got another question that's around level two here. It says, can my job pay me below minimum wage when I'm back at work? It would be 80% of my usual rate, which works out as 16 per hour. So that's obviously below minimum wage.
So this question threw me for a loop because my answer is fuck no. That is truly my answer. Like, the only, I know that there was some news around council cleaners being paid below minimum wage because of they agreed to a pay reduction, but that's not actually quite what happened. They had reduced hours of work due to obviously COVID and level three and level four. And so, you know, they were getting the wage subsidy, and that was a little bit less than minimum wage, which was still really appalling. But if you are doing the same work, it is not legal for you to be paid below minimum wage.
So who should this person be talking to? Is it their union representative?
Absolutely, but they should also be talking to MBIE, about this. So that's the Ministry of Business. Oh gosh, I've forgotten the acronym.
There's a lot of acronyms to remember out there.
Yeah, I know. It's like there's so many acronyms. Oh yeah, Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment. Yes. I don't know. I would really want to know where this person works. I think they need to be reported. If you're doing the same work, it's not legal for you to be working below minimum wage. That's called minimum wage for a reason. It's legislated minimum wage that you are possibly able to be paid.
Yes. Hopefully that helps you out there, Texter. Somebody else has said, hey Justine, I'm in New Zealand on a working visa, but I've just been made redundant this past week. Can't get a flight home yet. Who should I talk to for some help?
Oh, so this really breaks my heart because unions have and poverty advocacy groups have been pointing out that a lot of the support available to people who are being made redundant or who have had their working hours reduced is not available to people on working visas or people on temporary or student visas. So there's basically just this hole, right, that people are falling through and there's not a lot of support available, at least from the government side. And it's kind of like hypocritical because the government's been complaining to the Australian government that they're not supporting New Zealanders in Australia, yet we're leaving, you know, people on working visas. It's pretty shitty of your boss to make you redundant, given your visa situation, instead of just relying on the wage subsidy as long as possible, because, you know, you're not eligible for the benefit. You're not eligible for that financial support from the government. There is a union network of migrants. It's called, and it's run by First Union. It's called UniMIG. I think that's correct, and it's you can find it on the First Union website. I think I'll be able to tell you more. So it's www.unemig.org.nz, and I honestly would talk to them, and you know, potentially there are groups and organizations that are providing support, and they'll know more about that. But I'm really sorry for that, for the situation, that, you know, that's just an awful situation, and I just think that our government should be doing more to support people in that situation.
It does sound extremely stressful, so big solidarity to that texter, and solidarity to this texter too, who says, I'm a casual contractor for the council. I've not been paid since lockdown. Council argue not to pay me. Who should I contact? It's pretty hectic.
Yeah, that is really hectic. So this surprises me for a couple of reasons, because obviously we've talked about how casual workers are eligible for the wage subsidy on the show on previous Red Dead Redemptions. So the fact that, like, local government, you know, workers, casual workers are not being, have not been being paid the wage subsidy is pretty shocking to me. I think that a lot of these questions, I just want to know who the employer is. I just want to I'll give them a call. No, I'll take it to the Herald. This person should be getting the wage subsidy, and they need to contact, I know Etu covers a lot of the contractors for the council, so they need to contact the union if they are a member. If they're not, then they need to, I would contact MBE, I would contact your employer. I would want to know exactly why they haven't applied for the wage subsidy. I would really, this employer should not be getting away with this. This is really, that's really awful. I mean, what a situation to put your workers in.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. We've got a question here as well from somebody who's about to sign a new contract for a job. What's the deal with 90-day trials? Are they still a thing?
Okay, so I love this question because I get to give a happy answer.
Oh, cool.
So 90-day trials, the Labour government campaigned to get rid of them. When they got into government, they kind of half-assed it, but they still kind of got rid of them. So
awesome.
So they're no longer a thing if you work for a firm that has over 19 employees, I believe. So you cannot be dismissed without cause if you work for an employer with over 20 employees, 19 employees, which I think is most employers, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So if you work for a smaller business, then they are still a thing. But if they're not in your contract, it's not a thing.
Okay, so there's not, it's not like a magical clause that just floats around in the air. It has to be in your contract, and you also have to be working for a business that has less than 19 people. So that does narrow the field.
Does narrow the field, yeah. And so, yeah, I've successfully argued for that to be removed from contracts from smaller places. Sometimes you just have to say something, you know?
Cool.
It's like, comfortable signing this. I don't really, see what happens. But I mean, actually, I get it. When you're desperate for a job, you're not really going to be like, hey, let's talk about removing this clause. But yeah,
but you also, you never know, maybe your employer isn't 100% across it. They might be chill with it. You never know unless you bring it up as well, so there's always that too.
Hey, there's also valuing yourself. Sorry.
Yeah, it's great. Hey, Justine, thank you once again for another fantastic Red Dead Redemption and answering all of our listeners' questions that have been sent in across the week. We will gather some more for you and talk to you again this time next week.
Sounds good.
Cheers, Justine. See ya.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.